I just want people to see that how ways they can give back to the community. Mm-hmm. It don't have to be that big. It's something simple or small. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you just passing out water for the homeless people that's outside or just feeding the kids, you know, just something small. You can, I tell people, get involved. You know, don't, you know, everybody complain about stuff. Get involved and do something and start your legacy.
Welcome to Be a Baller Podcast, where we discuss how to build a lifelong legacy. I'm your host, Coach Tim Brown. Today, we'll be talking about building a legacy and community service with my good friend, Al Edmondson. Love that smile, man. You're my first smiling guest.
Yeah, man.
Today on the show, Al will share his commitment to serving the King Lincoln District, east side of Columbus, as not only a business owner at Cut Above the Rest Barbershop, but also president of the Mount Vernon District Improvement Association. Al has dedicated his life to enriching the lives of others. Al, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Coach.
Hey, first off, let's, I know we're this is kind of around the celebration of Veterans Day. I want to thank you for your service to our country.
Appreciate it.
But most recently, you were inducted to the Ohio Hall of Fame. Can you talk about what that honor meant to you?
It meant a lot to me because I can remember the day that I got the phone call sitting there cutting somebody's hair. And this guy, General somebody called from the Hall of Fame committee, was like, is this Al Edmondson? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I'm General so-and-so. And I said, okay, what's up? And he said, I just want to let you know that you have been nominated to be inducted into the Ohio Veterans Hall of Fame. And I said, oh, man, that's cool. He said, it gets better. He said, you are going to be inducted into the Veterans Hall of Fame. And at that time, man, I just paused for a minute because I thought about, like, my grandmother, my mom, and some people. You know, you work so hard sometimes just to do stuff and just to be up there in the hall, being nominated for the Hall of Fame. That means you would, you know, Neil Armstrong, all them great people. And it's a little old boy from the project named Al Edmondson.
Come on.
You know, Al Edmondson. Right. And all I can say is God is good.
Amen.
God is good, man. And it felt really good, man. And I got a chance to meet a lot of people who were around the whole state of Ohio. And now I still go to these events. Actually, there's one coming up. I go back and, you know, cheer on the incoming class. And so it was just great to be nominated. And then the biggest thing, Brother Tim, is that they normally hold it at the Vest Memorial. They held it at the Lincoln Theater, stomping ground.
Right.
The whole community came.
Right.
The whole community came out for me, man.
Wow.
And all these older guys, I'm the youngest guy.
Yeah.
And all these older guys, they was like, who are you?
Yeah,
and I was like, I'm just a barber, man. You know? I'm just a barber, man. Just, you know.
And they
was like, well, wow, you got all these people here for you? I said, yeah. The whole, I'm talking about, they filled the Lincoln up.
Wow.
And so that was just amazing, man, to see all the support that was, you know, that people know all the things I've been doing for a long time and just see the people come out and support me. That meant a whole lot to me and my family.
You know, you have a deep connection to that Near East Side of Columbus. Why is that area so important to you?
Well, first of all, you know, I grew up in the neighborhood. One day, man, and my mom had a nervous breakdown. And basically, she kind of like split me and my brothers and sisters up. And I wanted to stay with my dad. And my younger brother went to her mother, which is my grandmother. And then my other sister went to her grandparents. And then I wanted to stay with my dad. So because I wanted to be a tiger, basically.
Because,
you know, you hear all about the history of the East Side. And then going to Champion Middle School and my love for the community. And then going to East High School where I remember I tried out for the basketball team, didn't make it. Went and wrestled, got a little tougher. And then all summer, I was in the gym, and Jerry Saunders was working with me, and I said, I'm going to make that basketball team.
Because
I seen a brother like Bo Castleman at one of the Kwanzaa games and went up and dunked on somebody. Man, I was like, I want to be a Tiger. And so I worked so hard. So I was a varsity 3 years and played football as well. So, it's in my blood, you know, ain't nothing like a tiger, man.
I see you got your orange on today.
I'm representing. They know.
I know you're a proud graduate of Columbus East. Can you talk about your experience at East High School and how it prepared you for the community work you do today?
Yeah, well, I was always somebody who, got involved. And basically it started at the YMCA right there on Woodland. I would always want to, you know, help, you know, Anthony Moorhead at the time and Sheldon Stovall, and Jerry Saunders was there as well. And I would always just want to help them, you know, work with the younger kids. Mm-hmm. And I just believe in, you know, I'm the oldest of six. And so I've always been that person that cared for people and just helping them. And so I would always teach the classes and, you know, help the kids with dribbling and all that stuff once I got out of high school and stuff. And just trying to, you know, watching older people like Jerry, Anthony Stovall, and those guys, and then the coaches got us involved in a lot of stuff at East High School. Mm-hmm. You know, basketball team, we do cleanups. Yeah. You know, we're doing fundraisers and football team. You know, it's just a camaraderie of fellowship, and I really enjoyed it because my brothers and sisters, we was all split up, and so those people that I still hang around today, we still hang together like brothers and sisters.
You know, you mentioned some of those early mentors who helped you develop into the leader you are today. Mm-hmm. What were some of those things you can remember that you took from them?
I took from Jerry Saunders. Jerry was always direct, and he would you know, talk to you in a way that you can, you know, understand what he's saying at the time. And then Anthony Moorhead, he was more like a good friend that, you know, worked with you and, you know, pretty much talked about, you know, we started community cleanups. Mm-hmm. And that's where I thought, like, even when I became president of the business association, we got to keep this, we want our communities to be clean. You know, you don't go out in Worthington and throw trash out, or you don't go out in these Upper Arlington and throw trash out. So why should people throw trash out in your own neighborhood? So just watching those men at the time help build Mo-Me, and plus my grandfather. My grandfather was always somebody who helped people, and my grandmother. And so they would take all the kids in from outside, like they used to do, feed them all. I know y'all ain't got no food. We gonna make some oatmeal and stuff, and y'all gonna all eat this. But yeah, just, you know, those people who poured into me, and you see the results now. Yeah.
Kellogg here. Building a legacy usually involves meeting the unique needs of others and being part of something bigger than yourself. That's why I love First Merchants Bank. First Merchants believes that helping communities prosper means more than just providing banking services. It means offering accessible financial education, expanded access to homeownership, and partnerships with local nonprofits to help raise up neighborhoods and lift families out of financial hardship. For resources and tools available to you, visit www.firstmerchants.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I know you see a lot of those that you're pointing to now coming back, and I want to be like that. You know, I'm sure you've seen that cycle.
Of
young people. I know also that you're a strong man of faith, you know, being a longtime member of New Salem Baptist Church. Can you talk a little bit about your faith journey?
Oh, man. Because I grew up Muslim. Mm-hmm. My mom was Muslim. So I grew up, you know, going to mosque and all that stuff. And it was different when I first went to New Salem because I didn't understand it. Mm-hmm. And one day I just took this class on how to study the Bible because they was giving these classes. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. Right. You know, I didn't know how to pray or nothing. And so Tracy Robinson was teaching the class, Deacon Tracy Robinson. And I just started studying the Bible when I started to learn. Then I took a class on the doctrine and all that stuff. Like, New Salem helped me grow in my faith. And that was a journey. It was a scary journey because I was out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. I can do the As-Salaamu Alaikum and all that stuff and do all the prayers. Mm-hmm. But this was something different. And I was glad I did go and I got more involved. Right. That's how we met.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you know, we had Friday night lights over at Mifflin, buddy, in the Christian League.
Oh, yeah.
It was some good times.
Oh, we had a good time. We had a good time.
Yeah.
And I know Pastor Troy, Dr. Keith Troy, just celebrated, 40 years?
Yes, yes,
anniversary.
Yes. Yeah, he got a big thing coming up at COSI here in a couple of months, couple of weeks. Yeah.
He's a great man of God. Yeah. Let's change gears now. You know, you're a business owner of what we call a community barbershop. You know, in our neighborhood, they're the community. That's where everything happens, in the barbershop.
That's right. That's where it goes down. Yeah.
Can you tell the audience some of the things that happen in your shop besides haircuts?
Okay. And so in 1993, the American Heart Association, this young lady by the name of Jill Shaw, came to me one day and said, "Hey, you care about black men?" I said, "Yes, I do." Mm-hmm. She said, "Well, we want to come on your barbershop and do health screenings." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Okay, what's that look like?" I wasn't thinking about it.
Right.
And then throughout that time, we've been doing it. We still do it, but we got new partners. But we do health screening. We started health screenings in 1993. I've done prostate awareness starting in 2016, awareness for men, because I kept seeing my customers die. Mm. Or, you know, and then you also seen people overdose. So we've done a lot of outreach other than just cutting hair. Mm. We give out Narcan. We do flu shots next door to the next to the shop. We also done every April we do CPR training, because I believe in our community, we don't know how to do CPR training. So people come into the community. Last year, we had 63 families come to the barbershop because we need to know CPR. We can save someone's life. And the story came to me because from this lady that she was in the shop and this barber passed out. Luckily, it was two nurses there, saved his life. Mm. And I said, "Well, we need to do this every year for Minority Health Month." Mm-hmm. And so I just come up with initiatives, man, and partnerships now with Ohio State a lot. I just was reading an email today. The optometry wants to come to the shop. There's a new person in optometry. The optometry has been coming to the shop. But there's a new person and they want to come to the shop and do eye screenings for families. It's free. Ain't gonna cost you anything, but we just want to make our barbershop more than just a barbershop. It's everybody call it the community center.
Right.
Community center. Right. You know, we do we've done colon cancer conversations with Dr. Shaw, and because prostate, colon cancer, diabetes, and those things are things that kill black men, and I care about my black men, so we do awareness around those things. And the more, you know, I always say my motto is healthy customers make a difference. Mm. And so I believe in making sure we make things that are aware, you know, give out a lot of awareness to the community to, let them know that these resources and things are happening.
Yeah, I know you're also a place for all the politicians. So you come through there whenever it's that time, they all come through there. And then you have your community forums as well.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, man.
Now, why is that so important to you?
It is because the barbershop is where you can find out everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I tell people, I'm not going downtown. You got to come
right.
to the neighborhood.
Right.
If you want to get the real talk, the real down and dirty. And we have these forums where we can be candid. And we just we talk about what we need in our neighborhood to these people. You know, the mayor show up, you know, he's a good friend of mine and I respect him. I'm glad he won. Mm-hmm. And so, but he'll come to something because he want to know how we feel as black men and how the community issues. Mm-hmm. And like most of the time he returns and help out, you know, and, I was telling somebody that. He was talking negative about it, all this gun violence. And I was telling him, I said, "Do you know the mayor gave out $2.8 million to boots on the ground people?" Mm. So we supposed to be doing the work. He's giving us the funds. He can't do it, but he's giving us the funds to get out and reach our community because we have relationships with the people that are around us.
Right.
He doesn't have the relationship. So it's like, "I'm gonna give you some cheese, go out here and do the work." Mm. But then when we have these kids in our programs, and you probably experienced this too, is that they're good while they're there.
Yes.
But when they go home back to their environment, then you got to put your mask back on.
Survival mode.
Yeah.
Back to that. You know, speaking of that, you started a nonprofit making a difference. Can you talk about the vision behind?
Man. The vision started with the health screenings.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to a fatherhood initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did the basketball clinics that we used to do at the East High School. We wanted to bring fathers and kids in a biblical way and talk about Christ. And so we would I remember renting out the gym on Nelson Road where we have four stations where I'll have somebody mm-hmm. like you, because I want people to see. It's good to see the pros, right. But I want them to see a fireman. I want to see a policeman. Mm-hmm. I want to see Eddie Harrell, the CEO of Neighborhood House, mm-hmm. and the Tim Brown, mm-hmm. and we'll go around and just have four clinics, and you talk to them about what you do, mm-hmm. and that's the vision came from beyond from that, and then also. The fatherhood breakfast that we do, you know, father that started upstairs with men from New Salem and starting just a simple care group and men coming together and being transparent and being able to just open up and without being judged and right. tell your story. Mm-hmm. And so we still do that on Monday nights, Bible study, and that started with New Salem. Now we're planning on giving up, you know, we got toy drive coming up, giving for the kids for the neighborhood. But the fatherhood piece is very important for me because my dad was in and out. And so I had to learn from other men mm-hmm. on how to be a father, you know, and that was hard at, mm-hmm. in the beginning. But now I'm teaching right, men how to right. be. Oh, yeah. Now my experiences, mm-hmm. I share with these young men my experiences mm-hmm. Of fatherhood. And, you know, some of the things that they have to do to build good relationships with your children, mm. because, you know, it can get now these days they want to be grown early. But, mm. you know, to have that relationship with your father is special because kids will go to the mother all the time, right, especially right. boys. Right. But that father piece and the father with the daughter piece mm. is very important. So we're making sure that we're nurturing our daughters and can continue to build our young men up. So they don't get weak and well doing, you know what I'm saying? Because right, right. it could be frustrating for some of the kids now these days.
The team at the Financial Solutions Network is proud to partner with Tim Brown and bring you this episode of Be a Baller. Our mission is to share generously of our time, talent, and financial resources to help our clients develop financial plans and wealth management strategies that allow them to live the lives they imagine while connecting them with experiences and people that enhance their quality of life. FCA is one of those organizations by helping young men and women through the development of their personal faith. The Financial Solutions Network is an independently owned and managed wealth advisory firm based in Worthington, Ohio. We are a multi-generational professional team of advisors with a combined 83 years of experience teaching and managing financial strategies for individuals, families, businesses, and institutions. We would be honored to help you plan your financial journey. Contact us at 614-505-3025 or visit our website at tfsn.net.
I know I've watched you with your boys.
Yeah.
You know, I have two sons, and I always tell our kids, I tell people, our kids not to join a gang. We got the Brown gang.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
We got our own, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and we're working together, you know, making this thing happen, yeah. which has always been a blessing.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed us working together with the basketball.
Yeah.
Friday
yeah.
night. I didn't realize how big that was until now when you start looking back on it.
Man, we was huge.
You know, and just the kids who are, and just seeing those kids now, and not just talking basketball,
right.
but we're talking about life, how
yep.
well they're doing in life, you mm-hmm. know, and just those experiences, you know, putting them, I think the key of that was putting them in the right environment. You know,
right.
Where yep. we know that we're going to pray. We know that, well, first off, people already pray before we walk in there.
That's right. Yeah, that's what we did. Yeah, we got, did it in the middle.
Go. Yeah, we ready
yeah, we
to
just,
go.
Yeah, we just, you know, get started. I just thank God for those type of visions mm-hmm. that we've been able to partner with and yeah. stuff, because I mean, it made a difference and not just for us, but for the people that those, it's like branches,
yes.
you know,
yes.
now these young cats, they be like, Mr. Al, they're in the army, they right. Air Force, yes. they flying yes. planes, they, yeah. they got families now.
Right.
And so yeah. I'm always yes. proud to see those kids that yeah. came through that, man, yeah. that made it, that they're doing really good yeah. and they got a good foundation.
Yes. Yes. There's some good life lessons in mm-hmm. that. You know, you've been on the ground witnessing the revitalization of the Mount Vernon area and Long mm-hmm. Street. What has that meant to the community? You know, you've been around that area for decades. What has that meant to the community?
To me, I think it means a lot for the businesses.
Mm-hmm.
With the new development, it's reviving the neighborhood. I was back there, and so in the 90s, you know, 93, when the crack epidemic hit, I was there for the heroin. Mm-hmm. Now it's going back to fentanyl. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, I got 30 years mm-hmm. over there, And I've seen it. I've seen the good and the bad. Mm-hmm. Currently, right now, we have a lot of housing going up in the neighborhood. And within the next year or so, you're going to see about maybe 2,500 more people in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And what I like about that is that it's bringing people back to the neighborhood. Yes. You know, some of the rent is high, but they're making some of the rent is affordable for some of the apartments that are being built. But it's good to see people come back. And what I like about it, because we're barbers, we can cut any type of hair. Mm-hmm. And so we see people now walking to the barbershops and frequently visiting some of our businesses now. There's a very new development on Long Street that's going up. And that's going to bring more people into the neighborhood. And it's going to be right beside the Lincoln Theater. And of course, you know, we got the first black bank, that's right across the Lincoln Theater that's doing very well. Yeah. And, you know, we want people to continue to come and support it, you know, because people will start crying once it's gone. If you don't support it, we have to support it as a community. Yes. And so I've moved my checking accounts over there to support it, you know, because I want to lead by example. And then we are making sure that the businesses that are in the community know about the programs that the city of Columbus has for development. Mm-hmm. And so they can get grants. And that's one thing that I do as president of the business association. I go to these meetings and I bring back the information to help them fill out the information so they can make sure that they can get the money they need to do interior, exterior work. Mm-hmm. And that way they can spruce up their business to keep up with the times. They need new equipment and all that stuff. You know, that's stuff they're able to help them as well. But I love it, man. I'm looking forward to it. Because I see people coming back that would probably never come back because they're afraid of the neighborhood. Right. And we have great partnerships with the fire department and the police department. And we continue to just, you know, work as a community and work as a community to make things better. But, you know, there's always something.
Yeah.
You know, we can be out here, something gonna happen.
Right, right.
But, you know, it's coming back and I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, it's going to be jumping.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be going. It's going to be because people want to always see like when it was back in 1923 when they see the picture of the Mount Vernon with people standing out. But it's just people are out. But just it's going to be a mixture of people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the diversity. Yeah.
That
leads to our next question. How have you been able to make connections and bridge those gaps and bringing the community and community leaders and from diverse backgrounds together? You've been really good at doing that.
Yeah, man. Well, I just thank God for Columbus State.
Okay.
and thank God for Columbus State because, man, at 50, man, I went back to school during COVID. And I took this nonprofit management course.
Wow.
And I was just, you know, one class at a time because I ain't had no money.
Right.
But being able to connect, I've always been a connector.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And so now being able to connect on a different level because people, when they see you doing something, they say, well, we gotta see him. Anybody comes in the neighborhood to do something, they come and see me.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thankful for it.
Yeah.
I don't take it for granted because
right.
it's out of respect. Mm-hmm. And so, we can get things done. And I'm a neutral person. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sway to any side. But I think just being relationships are valuable, and relationships can get you places where you never can get to. Mm-hmm. But I think if we're all on this common ground of what the neighborhood wants to be like, and plus we all want something.
Yes.
And we want a good neighborhood. I just say that all I want is if we can keep these streets cleaned up, get some of this drug activity out the way, get these businesses up and running, and we can. I'm happy.
Right.
I'm happy. Oh, yeah. And get these kids going to school, and you know, I'm happy about all of that. But I think that I'm a type of guy that I will sit down and talk to anybody, and then we can agree to disagree.
Yeah, there's a common ground.
Because it's been a lot of times where I don't agree with something, but I find ways to work it out so we can all, you know, prosper in the neighborhood. Yeah.
You know, this is a legacy podcast. Mm-hmm. Think about that word legacy. What does that mean to you?
Whew, man, I never thought about it, man. I always tell people I'm in this space for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The guys using me just in this space for a little bit. And I'm hoping that my sons, I got my other son, both of my sons will see his file, you know, follow in my footsteps in a way, mm-hmm. Which they do. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for that. But just being able to look back and just say that I gave it all.
Yeah.
And God put me in situations where I never thought I would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking about the other day. Somebody said, "You went to the White House to see the president?"
Yeah, yeah.
I said, "Yeah." And it was on my birthday.
Right, right.
And I was like, "Wow,
what a birthday
present." Yeah, what a birthday.
You always remember that one.
Yeah, man. I was nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was so nervous going into that White House, man. I was like, "Golly." And then I went in there with Joyce Beatty and I looked around, seen Magic and all them guys.
Right, right.
I said, "Well, I'm in the corner." And I'm looking at everybody, Russell Simmons and all them, and I'm like this. Well, if I'm in a room, I've got to be somebody. So they might be wondering who I am.
Right.
So, but man, I just think, I mean, it's just a legacy, man. It's just so much, man. I want to be remembered as somebody who loved his family, love God, love his family, and love people.
Mm.
And that's it.
Yeah, you've done that.
Yeah.
Hard doing it. Still doing it.
Yeah, and just, you know, somebody says they're going to build a statue. I'm like, I don't need no statue, man. But if they do, they do. I won't know. I'll be gone. But I just want people to see that how ways they can give back to the community. Mm-hmm. It don't have to be that big. It's right, something simple or small.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you're just passing out water for the homeless people that's outside or just feeding the kids, mm-hmm. you know. Just something small. I tell people, get involved. You know, don't, you know, everybody complain about stuff. Get involved and do something and start your legacy.
Right. You know, as we wrap the corner, come around the corner, lastly, can you talk about the growing need for men to get involved, but most importantly, to stay involved?
Yeah, I think it's hard, man, because I think most men, we all busy, but, you know, I don't think anybody busier than me, though. But needless to say is that we have to step up in our community in order to get these kids back
mm-hmm.
as men.
Yes.
We need to start working on that. Cause I tell people all the time when they're talking about these kids that, you know, when the men step up in the community,
mm-hmm.
we can take care of that. It's a game changer mm-hmm. right there. And we need to continue to not put each other down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I shouldn't be jealous because you got a podcast, I got a podcast.
Right.
You got a million people, I got 100. We should support one another and love one another to the point like, hey, man, I'm so happy you're doing that. I ain't got to do it. I tell people every time, this is one thing for somebody always tell me, they say, man, why are you always doing stuff? I say, well, if you was doing it, I wouldn't have to.
Right.
I wouldn't have to, but... It just God just lays stuff in my lap. Sometimes I'll be like, man, I don't want to do this, but He opens the door and keeps opening it, and I'm gonna keep walking through it because I know what doors to walk through.
Right.
And I learned that for the last 30 years some doors you don't want to walk in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but man, I'm just I'm always thankful and grateful to be able to serve. You know, I want to be remembered as a servant leader.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
You're definitely that. Well, I want to thank you for your time. Most importantly, thank you for being a part of the community and being that one that everybody can find you. We know where you're at.
Yeah, man.
For 30 years at that barbershop. I want to thank you for answering the call.
Yeah.
You know, God calls us to different areas, different spaces. But the thing I love about you is you stayed. You stick mm-hmm. and stayed. You know,
so I didn't have
like
to.
You're just going in and out.
But I wanted to.
But you're there. You know, you're there. And we appreciate all that you're doing in the community. So this brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks to our special guest, Al Evanson, for sharing his many years of service to making the community and the city better and the country better as well. Thank you for your service to the country. I want to thank the audience for joining us doing this enlightening and informed discussion on building a legacy in community service. Hope this episode was beneficial to you. As always, thanks for listening to Be a Baller Podcast.
All right. Thanks, Al. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share this podcast with family and friends. Be a Baller Podcast is available on all major podcast stations. Be sure to come back next week as we continue to discuss on how to build a lifelong legacy. Until then, don't forget to be a baller. This podcast was created by Coach Tim Brown. It was edited by Tehran Howe and produced and recorded by the video production class of Worthington Christian High School.